Hello, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Hope you are having a great week, getting a chance to get out there and do something creative and amazing. I have a lot of photo books. I have a lot of books on my bookshelf from what I consider to be some of the great photographers. So whether it's landscape, portraiture work, black and white work, color work, interiors, exteriors, I have a lot of photo books. And the reason I have those is I think it's important to help me better understand how to make good photographs. I think by looking at work that is curated by photographers and photo editors and assembled into a book, it makes it easier for me to understand what makes a good photograph. The reason I bring this up is I'm now having a lot of conversations and I'm noticing a specific trend, and I don't know if it's a volume game just because there's so many more people out there making photographs, but I've noticed that there's a lot of times I'm looking at photography and I'm looking at photographs and that there seems to be a disconnect between people understanding what makes a good photograph and something that doesn't make a good photograph. And I'm not saying that it's not an interesting image or it's not something that somebody doesn't connect with, but when you put work out there to say that this is going to be the best of my photography, this is the best of my work, I think there's a certain bar there that says this is truly what makes the work great. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to continue to improve, and it doesn't mean the work you're going to create tomorrow isn't better than the work you're going to create today. But at this moment in time, is this truly the best work you put forward? Now, for some people, they'll say yes, and they're just not making that good of photographs because they're learning. You're learning the basics of editing. You're learning the basics of camera mechanics. You're learning the basics of a lot of things. But when we look at good photographs, when we look and experience great photographs, there are certain things that make a photograph interesting and compelling and make a photograph good. One of the biggest ones is it doesn't have any distraction in it. It is really about the subject and subject matter and nothing else. And so little things that come into the frame where we give ourselves a free pass, like, oh, I call it the Starbucks cup phenomenon because I live up here in the Pacific Northwest. I see so many photographs that have a giant white cup in them. And when I ask about the white cup that's a visual distraction because it's a big white spot in the middle of the photograph, people say, well, I didn't even see that white cup. That right there is the explanation for the problem, because if you can't see that giant white cup in the photograph and you didn't even notice it, that's going to be a problem because that's something everybody else is going to notice. And so this is what's led me into wondering, like, what is it about these bad photographs, these not great photographs being shared so much and being put out there as good photography? Like I said, I think part of it is a volume game. I think part of it is a lack of education game. I think part of it's an experience game. But for the people who are in the sphere of wanting to create and make great photographs and make interesting photographs, I think we need to solve this problem, because too many times I think we allow ourselves to have a free pass, myself included in this. I put out work that isn't necessarily a great photograph, and I kind of know it, or I definitely know it, and I just let it go out anyway. Or even worse, I put out a photograph for review and I send it to my peers, and they come back and ask me, what were you thinking? Because it's got a huge Starbucks cup in the middle of it. I don't notice that element. I don't recognize the bad photograph. That's why the books on my bookshelf are so important. When I look at those photographs, those are, no matter who I'm looking at, those are the best of that person's work at the time that book was put forward. So it doesn't matter if I'm looking at Michael Kenna, I'm looking at a Carrie Mae Weems book, a Mary Ellen Mark book, Sam Abel. It doesn't matter what I'm looking at. That's the best of the work. It's curated. The issues are resolved. And it doesn't mean that there's not better images in a collection or retrospective or a book than other photographs. Not every photograph is a perfect photograph. But in understanding that these are what make good photographs, and why is it when I look at these photographs, I don't have the experience I have when I look at my own work when there is a problem? Recognizing that, oh, there is no free pass on a mistake. There is no free pass when I look at a photograph and there's a problem with it and I let it go. When I think about writers, think about if you were reading a book and there was no grammar applied and all the words were misspelled and there was no paragraph structure and it went all sorts of different directions and they used fonts and every font was different. You would look at that and think, wow, this is not working. There's so much structural issue wrong with this, I can't even get through it. Whereas if there might have been one issue, like, oh, maybe it's got a weird font, but I can get past that. But when we start to compound these issues and compound these effects, it becomes significant. And that's the photograph. That's the problem in the photography. If we don't elevate our understanding of what makes a good photograph, we continue to allow ourselves to consume bad photographs. What we're basically teaching ourselves is to accept the mediocrity of the photography. So when you're on social media and you're looking at photographs and you're just looking at a bunch of random photographs that have no aesthetic quality to them, because you don't know what the intention, you don't know what the purpose was of the person who took the photograph. And I'm not saying there's not great photography on social media. But what I'm saying is you have to be selective about the volume of photography you consume through social media and where you consume it from. Because you will develop your visual IQ and your awareness of how to frame and photograph behind the camera based on the visual information you're putting into your brain before you pick up the camera. So by spending a lot of time consuming bad photographs, you will in fact develop the visual scene and understanding to replicate the creation of the bad photographs. When what we need to do is spend more time consuming high quality photography, high quality photographs, so that we can then have that be the framework and the reference point we use when we pick up our own camera to understanding framing, compositional, color, spatial relationships, all the things that go into making the photograph become a part of our visual way of seeing. So this is at the crux of all of this, is about what do you see and how do you see it? Part of photography is learning to see and translate what you see and how you see it into the frame. But if we don't know what doesn't work, and if we consume and look at a lot of photography that doesn't work, we just reinforce that bad behavior over and over again. It becomes something that we just do out of habit. It's breaking that habit is the key. And I think that goes back to, where do you spend your time? How do you spend your time consuming your visual information? I don't think that you have to go to a museum. I don't think you have to go get expensive photo books. I think you can go to the library and check out expensive photo books and not have to buy them to look at them. But I think there are certain photographers that have a beauty and a way of seeing the world. And even if it's things you're not interested in, even if it's subject matter you're not interested in, if it's technique you're not interested in, there are still people out there who create compelling, interesting work. They create work that has a sophistication to it, that has a purity to it, a rawness to it, a connection to it that allows it to really resonate. And I think that's the personality of the photographer, the personal project that becomes so important. When the work becomes real and it avoids this visual distraction, these very simple problems that occur over and over and over again in photography that we have to unsee, we have to unlearn, or we're doomed to repeat them over and over again. In my writing, because of my learning disabilities and the way I write, I've been fortunate enough that Lori has a list of words and a list of things that actually lives on my monitor that I'm not supposed to type this word, I'm supposed to type this word, and I'm not supposed to use this word because nobody ever needs to have it. That same kind of thing needs to happen in your photography. You almost need that checklist or that little punch list on the back of the monitor that says, don't include a big white Starbucks cup. Make sure you check your frame edges. Make sure your compositions is. Make all of these little things, because every time we see that and accept that, it's like, oh, that's a great photograph. That's cool. And we click on it. We like it. We support it. We're just teaching ourselves and reinforcing that bad habit. If it wasn't a problem, we wouldn't see it more and more in photography. And like I said, I think because it's a volume game, more and more people creating photographs who don't actually care about that. Their purpose in photography is not to make great photographs. That's the joy of photography, is it gets to do so many things. It allows somebody to just take snapshots of their family and love and reminisce and experience and remember the moment. But as a photographer who's interested in something beyond that, something different, it's not better or worse, it's just different. You have to think about how you create those photographs differently. It's that experience of driving the photograph rather than the memory that becomes critical. And if all you've allowed yourself to do is consume junk food, you can't be healthy. You can't live on cupcakes, ding-dongs, and ho-hos for your entire life. At some point, you've got to consume something healthy. Good photography, and when you want to be a great photographer, consuming great photography and great photographs helps you become that. You get to have the benefit of the nutrition that comes from those great photographs move you forward. So getting stuck in living bad photography is a result of consuming and being around bad photography. So if you want to elevate your game, if you want to get better quicker, if you want to find a way to connect more to your work, find the photographers who you think do that well and have created great work. And if you're not sure if somebody has got great photography, you know, share that with four or five of your other photographer friends. See what they think. Go back and look at some of the classic photo books. Go back and look at some of the classic photo essays and see what those images look like. What was it about those images and why did those make the cut? Or go get Magnum's contact sheets, an amazing book that's going to let you see the curation of a specific image out of a roll of 36 shots. How did the photographer and the photo editor make the decision to pull that out? Understanding and consuming that quality of work is going to be so critical for you moving forward, because you're ultimately teaching yourself how to see. You're teaching yourself how to see and notice when things aren't right, so that when you get your own work back and you think, wow, that was everything pulled together and I didn't see that stupid, god-awful white Starbucks cup. You do that more than three or four times, it's kind of like I said, eating junk food. You're going to feel bad enough the next time you put your camera up to your eye and you're going to be like, oh, there's that stupid white Starbucks cup. But you're going to notice it before you hit the frame. You're going to notice it before you take the picture. And that's ultimately what moves the work forward, is when we take the things that we're consuming in, we process them, and they become a part of our way of seeing. And that's the reason we want to get rid of this. I don't understand what makes a bad photograph, but I do understand what makes a good photograph, because that then becomes a understanding and a reason to create the photograph in a meaningful way. So what I would encourage you to do this week is go to the library. That's the greatest place to start, and just go into the photography section and grab off the shelf, whether it's, like I said, if it's Lorna Simpson, if it's Mary Ellen Mark, if it's Ansel Adams, whoever, just grab some photographers off the shelf. Richard Avedon, if you want to look at portraiture from the American West, whatever, doesn't matter. If you want to look at Kenna's work, if you want to look at Anthony Hernandez's work, just go look at a bunch of those photo books and start to consume great photography. Go to the local museum if you have one in your city. Go to one of the art galleries that has photography and good photography into it. Go look at good photographs. If you're online and you're just going to look on social media, you know, go find some of the big photographers. They all share their work. So if you want to go look at Stephen Shore's work or Stendi Sherman's work or Bill Allard's work up on social media, you can go find that. And they're sharing that experience in those photographs. Go look at that great work. Spend the time to live with great photography so that you can make great photography. I hope you have a great week. I hope you get out there and get to look at some amazing photography. Go back to your own collection. Get ruthless. Get ruthless with your own work and look at really when did the photography work and when didn't it work, and not for trying to dissect it, but really engaging with what makes that photograph good and how to repeat the success of that is the thing to look for. You can always find us up on iTunes, Google Play, any place podcasts are found. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.